Now, Zimbabwe is not on President Bush's African itinerary, but yesterday he did issue his strongest condemnation yet of that country's president, Robert Mugabe. Bush denounced him as a, quote, discredited dictator whose 28 years in office defies democracy and brings economic and social misery to his people. Kept in political turmoil under Mugabe, Zimbabwe has the world's highest inflation rate and unemployment is at 80%. Mugabe refuses to step down and will likely win next month's slanted national elections. He's been in office since 1980, back when the country was still called Rhodesia and a liberation war had just ended white minority rule. That time's referred to as Chimurenga, the Shona word for struggle. Nora Chepomere grew up there during that time, and now as a contemporary African dance artist living in the U.S., she's using her country's past and present struggles to inspire her on the stage. I talked with Nora yesterday. This solo show that you're doing, it is the story of the Second War of Liberation in Zimbabwe, your home country. How did you decide that this was a story, a history, that could be told through dance?
To start off with, it's Chimurenga, and it means struggle, but it also means to cry, and it means revolution as well. For me, it became sort of a story that I wanted to tell because I began to read about maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago books written by white Zimbabweans about that same time frame. And I just started to realize that there wasn't a lot of stuff that was coming out from black Zimbabweans about the same time frame. But, you know, living in the West and a practitioner of modern dance, I just thought maybe this was a thing that I could address through movement and maybe a way to begin a certain kind of discourse around specifically what's going on in Zimbabwe presently, but sort of using the revolution or that time frame as a way to open the doors on that discourse.
You endured a lot of trauma, traumatic events personally. You grew up during apartheid in Zimbabwe and were on the front lines on the ground during liberation. The country used to be Rhodesia. What was it like to live through that?
Well, you know, I was a child, so I was just going
How old
through
were you?
It as a... I was born into the struggle. It really started to take off 1965 and ended 1980. I was born 1965, so I was in it the entire time. And it was not until maybe I became a teenager that I really began to understand what the aggravation was all about. Because as a child, you don't know any different. It's just the way it is. The fact that, you know, I lived in townships and went to B schools, as they are called, African schools. You know, that was not unusual to me. I didn't know anything different. And there was also a certain kind of, because the warfare that was going on was a guerrilla warfare, a kind of silence and an avoidance of the subject matter. And yet at the same time, it was right there, you know. It wasn't until I got to, you know, be like 12, 13 that I really understood that there was a real struggle going on, and its enormity, the enormity of it all was profound.
When I watched some video of your piece, and the word that just stuck in my head was defiance, it's filled with this strength and a sense of defiance. Is that fair? Do you characterize it that way?
I would say so. I would say defiance is a fair word to use for even Zimbabwe as a country right now, you know, as a lot of defiance and a determination to just, you know, I'm going to take my space in this room, in this world. I am here. I'm not going anywhere. And, you know, even though I was in this all-girl high school, all-European high school, it was to survive. I had to defy, you know, what they thought about me. And in some ways, it propelled me, you know, because I worked harder. I did my homework and I wasn't going to get bad grades because I just wanted to show that I could do it, that I had the right to be there. So, yes, I think think defiance, you know, and I think it also as a woman, you know, as an African woman, there are all kinds of expectations that I intend to defy.
Speaking of one of them, perhaps, I want to ask you about nudity. And it doesn't appear in this particular work, but you've incorporated it in other works, specific piece called Poems. You dance topless part mm-hmm. of the time. What mm-hmm. what is that nudity meant to convey, and how do audiences respond to it?
Well, you know, nudity kind of brings you to a certain kind of primacy and immediacy, and for me, a certain kind of urgency. I want to force the audience. I want to confront the audience with this idea that I'm a human being. I want you to look at me with all my nakedness and all my primacy, and it's like flesh and blood. I'm right here. I'm not just some you know, ethereal beauty. And also to contrast it to the sort of the European dancer and the part you're talking about that I perform. Topless, I would say bare-chested, actually, because I think...
Yeah, topless has a different connotation, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So bare-chested, yeah. Bare-chested is, you know, when you see men bare-chested, you don't blink an eye, you know, but when you see a woman bare-chested, it's like, oh my goodness.
You have had a varied and non-linear reality yourself. You've been to law school, you worked yes. in radio, you've dabbled in filmmaking.
Yes.
When and how did dancing come into your life?
I think I was about, you know, 28 when I just really started taking dance seriously. I've always moved in my life, you know, but I'd never taken a formal class in the sense of being in a classroom with a bar and a teacher leading the classes. I guess I've always learned dance informally before that. But then I also just realized that when I first took my modern dance class in Oakland, California, that it was it sort of brought me back, brought everything into perspective for me, that through dance I could you know, really create my own language and tell my own stories. I was so very much moved and convinced by people like Martha Graham and Doris Humphrey, Isadora Duncan, you know, Mary Wigman, and that these women, powerful women, were able to sort of break from the ballet tradition to tell their own personal stories and using their own vocabularies. I mean, in fact, that's still what's exciting to me about modern dance or contemporary dance every day, is that you have this freedom to break from tradition, to break from sort of whatever is the canon, and find your own way and find your own voice. So it's a very liberating place for me.
Nora, thank you so much. Good luck with your performance.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nora. Take care. Nora will be performing Chipperanga, her interpretation of Zimbabwe's Second War of Liberation, tonight and tomorrow night in Seattle. You can find information about that event and upcoming tour dates around the country on our blog, www.npr/bryantpark/blog.